Although it is one of the things I do, I don't really care for that title. Kelly's just a good title. Yeah. Amen. Man, it's so good to be here today. Carrie and I are out running around sometimes and helping other churches. I'm taking off for Dallas in the morning, so I'll be laying hands on the football stadium and praying for them. Help us, Jesus. Oh, but it's great to be here at the Life Center, and those of you that are online and those in the balcony, great to see you today. I believe the Lord has a good word for us. Amen? Amen. Amen. God's been stirring some things in my heart, and this year he's been talking to me about there's opportunities all around us. Don't miss those. And man, we can focus on the negatives if we're not careful. I can. But we should focus on some opportunities that are around us. Congratulations to my friends today. Thank you. It's just great to be a child of God. When God is your God, when he is your Savior, when he's in your life, all things are possible, right? That's one of the things I love most about serving Jesus. All things are possible. Doesn't matter what's going on or how it's all feeling or what just happened or what's not happening. God gives us hope and faith and strength, and I just love that. Today I'm going to talk about the land of the free and next level freedom. And I'm not really talking about the country, the United States of America, although we are the land of the free and the home of the brave. We hear that phrase, you know, and thank God for that. But I'm really talking about the church today. The church should be the place of freedom. It should be the land of the free. It really should be. And we should be able to find some next level freedom. You know, what you have in God today is not all there is. What you know about God today is not all there is to know. The experiences you've had with God up to today are not all the experiences that God has for you. There's more. It's like those infomercials. Wait, there's more. Don't dial that phone yet. There's more. God is definitely not trying to sell you something that's worthless, but he is trying to let you know there's some greater things, some greater opportunities, and some greater freedom for us. Arby talked about those that are not saved and don't know God at all. Man, do they have an opportunity for some new freedom or what? Do you remember before you got saved? Do you remember what life was like? Do you remember the bondage and the pain and the hopelessness that was there, the grief and the sorrow, and you didn't know anguish and fear? Man, we don't have to live that way. There's a lot of people that need Jesus today. So this message is not just for those that don't know Jesus at all. It's for some of us that serve the Lord for decades also. And God says, hey, Kelly, there's more. And he puts your name in there. There's more. So we know that America, right? We have some freedoms in America. That's the way people like to say it sometimes. And we know that there's a design here for some governmental freedom, created equal, pursuit of happiness, that kind of stuff. And it's beautiful words. But the greatest freedom comes from these words that we hear in our Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. And it's that under God part that's so powerful. That's what's really powerful. And your life, when your life is under God, that's a powerful thing. In John chapter 8, if you're going to talk about freedom, you got to read these verses, right? Starting in verse 31. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, that was people that were believing in him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Man, that's just an interesting point right there, that there are some new levels of freedom for us if we can learn to abide in his word. What does his word say? What does his word teach us? I hope you're reading your daily Bible reading. I hope you're reading the Bible every day, because God wants to talk to you and he wants to help you understand who he is and what he's doing. If you abide in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Man, I see people that blend all sorts of crazy stuff. They blend God, and they blend New Age, and they blend humanism, and they blend evil, and they just kind of just mix it all up and think they're great. They think they know God. They think they have freedom because they've thrown all this spiritual stew together and they got it all covered. You know, that's not how you get freedom. You got to know the Word. Here he's going to tell us in a minute, the truth is what sets us free, right? The truth is what sets us free. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. If you abide in his word, you can know the truth. But if we don't abide in his word, I mean, we come to church to hear somebody tell us more about the word of God. We open the book and study it so the Holy Spirit can tell us more about the word of God. We go to life groups and Bible studies. We read books that can help us learn more about the word of God, who he is and what he wants. And the truth does set us free. I know there's so many times in my life when I was limited and I was lost and I was confused, and then the word of God spoke right into that situation and clarified it, gave me a strategy, gave me power, gave me freedom, and I move forward. And I love those moments. It says they answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants, and we've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you would be made free?" It's like, "I'm North Idahoans. What do you mean I could be free?" You know, it's like, "I'm an independent North Idahoan, I'm already free." And sometimes, "I'm a Christian, I'm already free. I've been in the way for 20 years. I've been saved for decades. I'm already free." And Jesus is going, you ain't free yet. You're not totally free yet. But you can be, and he wants you to be. Jesus answered, he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." Man, we're a slave to some stuff and maybe don't even know it. Sometimes we're a slave to our past. Sometimes we're a slave to words that were spoken to us, about us, over us. Sometimes we're a slave to bad memories. Sometimes we're a slave to trauma. Sometimes we're a slave to hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and sins, and problems. And Jesus says, man, if you have sin in your life, you're a slave to sin. Verse 35 says, "A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever." And you say, "No, I want sonship for you. A slave is kind of a transient. They have no home. They have no permanent position. It's kind of like in and out, up and down, all around." And does that describe our life sometimes? It's like we're a transient in the grace of God. You know, we have some good times and some bad times. You know, we have some successful times and some destructive times. And it's like, but Jesus, "But I want to make you a son. I want to make you a daughter. I don't want to make you somebody that just accidentally, occasionally bumps into some good times and this has to weather the bad times. I want you to have this permanent condition of freedom. I want you to have that." And then he says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed." And I like that. I want to be free indeed. That means totally free, 100% free, absolutely, amazingly free. God's not talking about a fictitious freedom. He's not talking about a pretend freedom. You'll be truly free. You like that? You ever fake freedom? You ever fake like you're free? You ever fake like you're okay? How you doing? "I'm good. I'm okay." You know, we kind of fake. Sometimes we can fake freedom too. Like, "I don't want to tell you my problems. I don't want to tell you how I cry myself to sleep at night sometimes. I don't want to tell you that sometimes I'm gripped with fear and anxiety. I don't want to tell you that sometimes I'm ashamed of my life and what I did and what I said. I don't want to tell you that. I'm fine." We have a fictitious freedom. Sometimes in the church world, we do that with each other. But God says, "I want you to be totally free, 100% free." And if you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the enemy Nebuchadnezzar cast them into the fire, right? Because they wouldn't worship the image. They wouldn't worship a false god. They were going to hang on to truth. They made some great declarations, you know. We just believe in him, and he has power to deliver us, but if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down to your false god. And they threw him in the furnace, and it was hot, right? Was it hot? I mean, it was like 7 times hotter than normal, and the big old soldiers that threw him in the fire died because it was so hot. They had to get that close to throw him in. Have you been close to a fire? Have you been close to a campfire before? You had to back up a little bit, you know? You caught your leg, your pant leg on fire before? Anybody been that close to a fire, you know? I've been there a couple times. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they looked into the fire, and we're talking about freedom, they were bound and they were thrown into the fire. I felt like that a day or two, have you? Have you ever felt like that a couple days? I'm bound and somebody's thrown me in the fire. And all the fire did to them was burn the ropes that were binding them. And it said they were walking around in the midst of the flame, and there was a fourth person there with them, which was Jesus Christ, our Lord, right? And when Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, come on out, boys. I need to talk to you. This is pretty strange here. You guys have some freedom over the bondages. You have some freedom over the fire that was meant to destroy you. And when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. See, that's free indeed. There's times that I've been free, but I still smelled like smoke. I still have the smell of the trauma, the smell of the pain. I'm surviving. How many of you just want, I don't want to be just a survivor. We pulled them boys out of the fire and they had third-degree burns on 80% of their body. They don't look too good, but they survived. That's not the kind of freedom God wants for you and I. He wants us to come out of the fire without even smelling like smoke. The trauma, the pain, the bondages, the sin that's in your life, that has been in your life. God wants you so free that all those things that bound you are gone, right? And you don't even smell like you've ever been in the fire. That's righteousness. That's sanctification. That's freedom. That's Christianity. Some of you still smell like smoke. I'm just saying. You go, yeah, there, I still smell like smoke once in a while. Kari's going, I smell smoke. She's probably going to use that on me now. Hey, does that smoke that I smell? You need to change your attitude, boy. Don't make me get the knife out. She's really dangerous with a knife. But there's times that your old carnality pops up. There's times that you're angry and you don't even know why. There's times that you're just nasty and you don't know why. And there's times your heart is pulled towards things that are destructive and harmful and hurtful and you don't even know why. And it's like, Jesus, I need freedom. I need to be free indeed. The church should be a house of freedom. It's great to be a hospital where we can drag ourselves in here and get healed up. We're going to talk about that here in a minute as well. But after we've been here a while, we need to walk out the door healed, free, and whole and live our life that way. We need that process going on in our life. But hey, you're going to have to serve somebody, right? You need to know that you're either serving God or Satan. You're either serving sin or righteousness. And I have a little song I wanted them to play for you today. See if it can pop up here. Don't make me sing it. The projector is not cooperating for the moment.
You may be an ambassador, king of a queen. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You might be the heavyweight champion of the world. You might be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Oh yeah, you got to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Somebody.
Might be a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage.
drugs, a joke, a man, women in a cage. You might be a businessman or some high degree thief. They might call you doctor, or they might call you chief, but you gotta serve somebody.
Serve.
Yes, you gotta serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher with your spiritual pride.
Yeah.
You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side.
Whoa.
You may be a barber, know how to cut a hair.
Yeah.
Maybe on a paper. Somebody there, you gotta serve somebody.
Somebody. Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, maybe the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
And Bob Dylan wrote that song. I was gonna get a video of him singing it, but you can't understand what he's saying when he sings. But isn't it true? You're gonna have to serve somebody. There's some verses I wanted to read in Romans chapter 6, and we'll talk just a little bit more about that. But verses 15 through 23. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. And Paul's saying, man, we're not saved so we can sin. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness, for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That's interesting. When you were a slave to sin, you were free from righteousness. And there's a lot of people living their life in slavery to sin, and they don't want to hear nothing about righteousness, nothing about God. They want to be free from that. Don't preach to me. Don't condemn me. Don't judge me, they'll say. And sometimes we even say stuff like that. But it says, but what fruit did you have in those things of which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end is everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I wanted us just to think about for a minute that freedom doesn't mean you never answer to anybody You never have any authority over you. Nobody can ever tell you what to do. You don't have any responsibility. Sometimes in America, we think that freedom is, I can say what I want, do what I want. You ain't the boss of me. I have my rights. Sometimes we think that. But God says, now that's not freedom. Freedom is when you can be, you're going to be freed from something and a slave to something. You get to choose. You're going to have to serve somebody. You can serve the Satan, evil, the world, or you can serve God and Jesus Christ. And people say, well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in anything. Well, then you're serving Satan, right? Because you have to make this conscious choice to serve Jesus Christ. The thing about Satan is he has a whole lot of ways to go to hell. There's a whole lot of ways to go to hell. Anybody know that's true? It's wide. There's a lot of ways to get there. You can choose the atheist path. My tongue's all tangled up. Or you can serve a false religious path. Or you can serve just a humanism path. There's a lot of ways to be bound. And that's will end up in death. The wages of sin is death, right? But there's only one way for life. There's only one way for freedom. If the Son makes you free, guess what? You're free indeed. You're righteous. You're blessed when the Son makes you free. And so I wanted to just talk about what is freedom and what isn't it, just for a moment, that it doesn't mean you can do anything you want, any way you want, and you don't have to be accountable to anybody. That's not freedom. It's freedom to be who you were created to be. Freedom to experience God fully, unhindered. Freedom to enjoy all of his promises and his will in your life. That's freedom. The rest of that stuff's bondage. The rest of that stuff ends up messing you up. There's no Switzerland when it comes to spiritual things. There's no neutral ground. There isn't. Sometimes even in the church world, we feel like, well, there's kind of some neutral ground. I can still do this and be okay. I can still do this much sin and make it. I can still be okay. But no, you're going to have to choose. You've got to serve somebody. You're bound to something and you're free from something. And which direction is that going to be for you? And Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ hath made you free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Stand fast. I mean, understand who you are in Jesus Christ. Understand the freedom, the deliverance that he came to give you. Stand fast in that. Do not be entangled again with bondages, yokes of bondage. Don't let anybody put that collar around your neck, that yoke around your neck, that ring in your nose, and drag you around. Don't let sin do that. Don't let that be you. So sometimes we get some freedom. It's like the Bible talks about a dog returning to its vomit or a pig returning to the mud, the wallow, right? We don't want to be that person. Again, we vacillate in and out of freedom. We can get some freedom. We can get some. Sometimes it's sad, but sometimes we come to God in order to get some relief. And as soon as we get some relief, we kind of go back to the old ways that created the problem in the first place. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Isn't that a bummer? It's a bummer. God doesn't want you just to get a little relief on those worst days when you can't take it anymore. If you say, I just can't take it anymore. I need some relief. We got all sorts of coping mechanisms. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. We got all kinds of coping mechanisms when we can't take it anymore. In Judges chapters 13 through 16, we have the story of Samson. Samson was a tough dude, wasn't he? He was a tough dude. And Samson had some power, but he also had some problems. And he must have been Pentecostal. I'm thinking he was Pentecostal. He had some power, but he had some problems. I see that guy in the mirror sometimes. I know a lot of people like that. You got some power, but you got some problems. And he had potential, and God's will for him was amazing, and God's power in him, God's provision, God's resources in him were abundant when it came to his strength, right? And he was a promised child to a mother that was barren, and angels showed up and spoke to mom and said, this guy's going to be special. He's going to be a Nazarite from birth. Don't let him drink alcohol. You don't drink any alcohol, nothing of the vine, no raisins, you know. And he said, I just want you to be totally pure as far as that, and don't cut the guy's hair. And all that has some significance, but I don't have time to talk about that. But there were just some things going on there because this guy's special. And when he showed up, he was special. But he ended up losing his freedom. He ended up being bound, didn't he? He ended up letting his freedom go. He ended up being entangled again. And that happened to him. He had amazing opportunity and grace and potential, but he also had lust and bitterness. What could have Samson done if he could have got free indeed? Sometimes I look at my life and say, Jesus, what could I do if I could get really free? I mean, really free. So free. What could I do? What could we do if we could be really free? What would life be like? What would our marriages be like? What would our parenting be like? What would our businesses be like if we could get really free? What would it be like? Why don't we find out? Why don't we keep moving in that direction? Well, so Samson ended up playing with sin and playing with truth, and he thought it would never happen to him. In chapter 16, verse 20, he says, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. Samson said, man, I've shaken myself free before. I've played with sin. I've played with messy stuff. I've played around with truth and lies. I've played around before, and I've been able to shake myself free. But guess what? This time, he couldn't shake himself free. There's not enough self-help in the world to get you to help yourself sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? I like self-help stuff. I like wisdom. I like learning. I like knowledge. But I got to understand that it's not, that's so limited. There's so many times I just need Jesus. I need real freedom. I need to be free indeed, totally free. Get the smell of smoke off me, Jesus. I want to be totally free. Four times Samson played with Delilah and the truth, didn't he? Four times. It's like, if you bind me with bowstrings, then I'll be as weak as any other guy. So she bound him and said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he broke them and carried the gates off of the city and to the top of the mountain, dropped them off, you know. It's like, that worked out okay. And if you take just some green twigs, and then I'll be, you know. And finally she's going, Samson, you don't love me. If you love me, you tell me. Come on, Samson. It's like, how dumb does she think he is? Maybe this is where we get the big dumb guy thing, you know, I don't know. And she's just crying, and finally she wore him down. Has anybody ever wore you down? She finally wore him down. He said, all right, if you cut my hair, I'll be weak as any other guy. Really? She's going, oh, he told me the truth this time. Cut his hair. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And in that, we just read that verse, and I woke up and thought I would shake myself free just like all the other times. But this time he couldn't get free. This time they poked his eyes out. This time they made a laughing stock of him. This time they made him the ox that would turn the wheel, that would grind the grain. They said, you're our enemy, and we're going to destroy you. And then when they had their parties, they would bring him out, and they would laugh at him, and they would make him perform. I would like to know a little more about what did they make him perform. But they said they made him perform. And sometimes I feel like in life, Satan gets us by the nose or gets us by the short hairs on the back of the neck, and he makes us perform. He makes us do his stuff, and he laughs at us, and he mocks us because we're slaves to him. We're slaves to our past. We're slaves to our pain. We're slaves to things that has happened. The smell of smoke is on us, and we're bound up, and that fire is devouring us, and he's making us dance to his tune and do his thing. He knows how to push our buttons, doesn't he? And he was doing that. But hey, Samson, he ended up doing okay, didn't he, at the end? I mean, he never fulfilled his destiny, but he killed more people in his death than he did when he was. This is the guy that took the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 people, you know, and could kill a lion with his bare hands. And he ended up that day, they were mocking him, and his hair had grown back. Thank God. You ever get a bad haircut and thank God it grows back? Thank God it grows back. And his hair grew back. There's got to be a message in that somewhere too. And he had the boy said, can you just take me to the pillars that hold up this temple? Because I just want to lean on them. And he pushed and they all fell down. And he died, but he killed a whole bunch of the enemy at the same time. And there's lots of different levels of bondages and severity of bondages. And there's times in our life it's just that one time too many. We took one step too far. We allowed Satan one more liberty with our life, with our mind, with our heart. We allowed him to drag us back into that anguish again, that fear again. We allowed him to drag us back into sin again. And this time it was one time too many. And we're so bound. There's some people around us that are so bound, aren't they? It's like that one time too many. And they're so hurting and they're so damaged. And life is so miserable for them. And Satan loves that. That was his plan all along. And we need to help him get free, don't we? Shouldn't the Life Center be a place where we can bring the most bound, hurt, damaged people and see them get set free? Were you one of those people? Are you one of those people today? There's freedom for you. There's freedom for you. In Isaiah chapter 61, Jesus tells us, this is what it's really about. This is what I'm really trying to do. So there's levels of bondage, but there's also levels of freedom. And I want us to minimize the bondage levels and maximize the freedom levels. Can we do that? Are you guys ready for that? I'm ready for that. I want that. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, Jesus, he quoted these words in the temple that one day. And he said, this is me, I'm here. What did he came to do? What's the church supposed to do? What are we supposed to do as Christians? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings, the good news to the poor. We've got good news to tell people. We have good news to tell people. Sometimes we act like we were baptized in pickle juice. We're all sour. We got full of bad news. And you know what Satan's been doing? Satan's been bugging me all night. My pastor, he used to say, yeah, as people say, well, Satan's been chasing me for a week. And he says, well, maybe you got something that belongs to him. If you'd let that go, maybe he'd quit chasing you, you know? Well, maybe it's something like that, but... He's anointed me to preach good news. We got good news for people. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty or freedom to captives. The church, you and I, are supposed to experience this, and we're supposed to share it with our world. Heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those that are bound. Now, prison is like you can't get out. You're there. You're locked in. You're guarded. You can't get out. Without Jesus, we're just stuck, aren't we? We can't get out. Some of you are going to get some new freedom today. I'm so excited for that. I want some new freedom today also. It says, we're proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. God showed up to help us, the day of vengeance of our God. The vengeance isn't upon you, it's upon evil, it's upon darkness. And then he says, to comfort all that mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. I'll take that trade. The oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God wants to resurrect, redeem, restore us, plant us in good ground, and grow us, that he could be glorified. And verse 4 says, they will rebuild the old ruins. Man, I love verse 4. Verse 4 is, the things that the enemy tried to ruin and destroy, we're going to rebuild those things. He's not going to have his way. He's not going to have his way. They shall rise up the former desolations, things that were desolated. Can't even recognize them from what they should have been, used to be. We're going to raise up those things. And they will repair the ruined cities and the desolation of many generations. I think that's my favorite part right there. Because there's some generational, I'm trying to find a good word, some generational crap. Is that a good word? That we need restored from. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You have some generational stuff going on? My family are all Irish. They're all redheaded, angry people, you know. My family are all alcoholics and drunks. My family are all womanizers and sex addicts. My family are all arrogant. My family are all, sometimes it's my family are all sick. They have diseases, and now it looks like it's my turn. And God says, you know, I'd really love to break the desolation of generations off of you and set you free. I'd really like to do that. You don't have to be like your family. You don't have to be like mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. You don't have to be that way. You don't have to be that way. Jesus came to set us free. He really did. Amen. He came to set us free. That ministry that's so cool. Celebrate recovery. He wants to heal you from your hurts, your habits, and your hang-ups. You got a couple of those? Hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Celebrate Recovery is a great ministry that's just designed. It's not only for alcohol or something like that, but it's for hurts, habits, and hang-ups. We don't have it going on here. It'd be nice to get that going again sometime. But Jesus wants to heal you from your hurt, your habits, and your hang-ups. He came to deal with sickness and injuries. I'm just going to list some things today, and let's see if any of those things you can relate to. There's more freedom for us. He came to deal with our sickness. Anybody got sickness going on? He came to deal with injuries. Did Jesus heal injured people? He did. He did. People with PTSD, emotional trauma, people that are alcoholics, food addicts, tobacco, pornography, money, spending issues. These are some of the coping mechanisms I was talking about a little earlier. We have a verse we're going to read in just a minute that talk about that. He wants to give you next level freedom from infirmities. He healed lame people, lepers, people with all kinds of diseases, people that were blind. The guy with the withered hand, I was listening to a sermon on that this morning, and it stretched forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Parkinson's disease, palsy, fevers, plagues, death, injuries, birth defects, congenital issues. Jesus healed. He set people free from that. You know, sickness is a bondage, really, isn't it? I know that as we age, we get worn out and we die, but we don't have to suffer all sorts of sickness, disease, family stuff over and over and over. We don't have to. There can be some freedom for us there. Jesus helped those that were oppressed and possessed from evil spirits. There are evil spirits in our world, and they are messing with people. They're messing with people here. Maybe not in this room. Point at somebody if you think, no, don't do that. But there's evil spirits around. There's people that are oppressed from dark, occultic, evil spirits. There's people that are possessed by evil spirits. And Jesus set them free. He gave them freedom. The demoniac, this guy had a legion of demons inside of him. I mean, it's bad enough to have one or two, but this guy had a legion. He was messed up. He was cast out of society, living in caves, living in graveyards. They would bind him with chains, and he would break them with supernatural demonic power. It's crazy. I know that we watch movies. Maybe we watch movies like that about stuff like that. But we've seen depictions of that, but it's reality. That stuff happens. Mary Magdalene, what, she have seven in her? She was a prostitute. Jesus set her free. She became one of his most beloved followers. It's like, wow, Jesus, my life was so messed up. You set me so free, completely free, totally free. I am devoted to you forever. The boy with seizures, and I'm definitely not saying everybody with seizures has demonic issues, but this boy did. The demons would cast him into the fire. He would froth at the mouth, and the dad brought him to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do anything, and Jesus just said, leave him alone, get out. And he fell down like he was dead, and all of a sudden, he came to himself, and he was free. He was free. The enemy loves to mess with us, but we can be free from that. Jesus set people free from emotional issues, fear and anxiety, people that were social outcasts, people that were friendless, people that were unloved. He loved them, and he brought people that would love them into their life. People that were hopeless, he gave them hope. People that were weak, he made them strong. We're talking about that kind of freedom. Jesus took care of financial issues. When there was a lack of food, he could take a little bit of bread and a few fish and feed 5,000 men and their families. And he did that another time with 4,000. And there were basketfuls of food left over. Jesus can take care of our needs. He can set us free. Sometimes we're financially bound, and he wants to set us free. And he can help us find some new freedom with that. He can give you money and a fish mouth. We ought to all go fishing this afternoon. But Peter needed to pay his taxes. And Jesus said, well, why don't you go catch this fish? You're going to find some coins in its mouth and pay my taxes and your taxes too. That's pretty cool. Jesus said, I take care of the birds, and I take care of the flowers, and I take care of creation. I can take care of you. Don't worry about it. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Everything that I have, it's my good pleasure to give that to you. Amen. Jesus set people free. Listen to this one. This is like one of my favorites also. Jesus set people free who had problems that were decades old. Man, they had got prayed for so many times and no freedom until that one day they got freedom. And sometimes you say, I come and I got prayed for and nothing happened. They laid empty hands on my empty head and nothing happened. Well, just keep coming and getting prayed for. Just keep saying, Jesus, I'll come to you for some freedom. This woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. She spent every penny she had, all the doctors she could find, and she was none the better. And in her heart, she said, really all I have to do is touch Jesus. If I can just touch Jesus, I can get set free from this disease. Guess what happened when she touched Jesus? Virtue went out of him into her, and boom, she was healed. There was this guy sitting by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. And there was the weirdest thing going on at this pool. Every once in a while, an angel. See, I don't believe that. Well, it's in the Bible. There's a lot of crazy things in the Bible. Every once in a while, an angel would come and would trouble the waters. Have you guys ever heard of Bethesda? Is it like maybe a medical hospital that our presidents go to? Recognize the name there? Healing Waters. People were gathered around the pool, so as soon as they see the water trouble, the first person in, boom, was healed. Jesus come by, and he says, you still here? Dude, I've been here 38 years. I'm lame, I'm a little slow, and every time I'm starting to get in, somebody gets in before me. Well, today's your lucky day. Take up your bed and walk. And he did. And he did. 38 years. 38 years. There was one woman, I don't know how long this took, but there was this one woman who Jesus met at the water again at a well. And she had had five husbands and was living with number six. It wasn't even her husband yet. I don't know how long that took. It had to take a few years, right? I mean, you just don't switch husbands like socks every other day. It had to take years, decades to make that thing happen. And Jesus said, you know, lady, if you would come to me, I know you're thirsty for something. I know that life is not good for you. And I know that you've been used and abused and mistreated. And you're coming to the well at the hottest part of the day because you're a social outcast. And people don't love you and people don't accept you. But if you would come to me, I would give you living water. You'd never thirst again, lady. I'll set you free. She took him up on it that day. I don't know how long she had been suffering and bound. But that day she found freedom in Jesus Christ. She went back and told the whole city, and the whole city got saved. I mean, it's good news when Jesus sets you free. We ought to tell everybody, Jesus set us free. That's good news. So God wants you and I to experience new levels of freedom and next level freedom without all the coping mechanisms. And sometimes we try to solve our own problems with coping mechanisms. I don't know, what's your favorite? If this was a life group, we'd just go around and say, so what's your favorite go-to coping mechanism? What is it? What do you go to when you're just stressed out and you can't take it anymore and you need some ROLAIDS or some relief or some whatever. If you're old, you know what that means. But if you're not, you're going, that's stupid. It was a commercial. It was funny back in the day. It might be on TV land. You can still see it in black and white. No, it's not black and white, but it was back in the 80s, way back in the 80s, way back there. But you're just looking for some relief. What's your go-to? Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly or carefully. Walk carefully. Live your life carefully, not as a fool, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I don't have time to talk about that, but I'd love to for a minute. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Sometimes it's our foolishness that brings us right into bondage. Samson's foolishness, right? I mean, he had some bitterness. He had some pain. He did. Things didn't go great for him. But instead of taking it to the Lord and getting healed, he tried to get a coping mechanism named Delilah, and didn't work out too well. Delilah's not a good coping mechanism. Anybody here named Delilah? We don't usually name our daughters Judas or Delilah. You shouldn't name your daughter Judas for sure. Or Jezebel. Anybody have a daughter named Jezebel? I mean, there's a few names you just don't choose for your kids, right? That was one of them right there. So yeah, that was his coping mechanism was Delilah. It didn't work out too well. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So he just kind of touches on alcohol right there, and he's going, it's not a great coping mechanism. Getting drunk, not a good coping mechanism. It really is not going to solve your problems. Anybody, has a half a case ever solved your problems? Has a bottle ever solved your problems? Did it create more? Yeah, it just never solves your problems. It doesn't. I grew up in a family of alcoholics. I've never been drunk. I've never drank alcohol in my life because I saw its horrible effects on my family. And I said, I don't want that in my life. I'll eat Twinkies, but I'm not drinking alcohol. I mean, I have my other coping mechanisms. Don't worry. I do. We all have our go-to something, right? I really don't eat Twinkies. I say this sometimes when people buy me a box of Twinkies. The cool thing is they never expire. They last forever. So don't be unwise. Understand what God's will is. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. You want to be free? You want to be really free? You want to be totally free? You got to abide in the Word. You got to believe in Jesus. And you need to get filled with His Spirit. I mean, your life full of His Spirit. I mean, full. All day, every day, full of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. So your coping mechanism is here. What does the next verse say? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Man, there's some music that will set you free. Not, I got friends in low places. Not that song. There's some songs that won't help you out at all. You play country music backwards, you know, you get your house back, your dog back, and your wife back, you know. I mean, it doesn't help you out that much, right? But spiritual songs, hymns, scripture songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, that's better than Budweiser and Jack Daniels every single day. Better than Twinkies. It's better than the Matlock Marathon. Maybe television's your go-to thing. It's better than any other coping mechanism that you go to. Jesus says, if you want to be free, I can make you free. I can set you free. I can make you free indeed. And we need that. I need that. I know that you need that as well. The Son will really make you free. And then verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks. Are we coming into Thanksgiving maybe pretty quick, you know? And just living a life of gratitude. A life of gratitude. I got to stop. But so we need greater freedom. Maybe for decades you've not been free. Today could be your day. Maybe it's your first time to seek God for freedom for something in your life. Today could be that day. Maybe you've got all these coping mechanisms that are just making things worse and they're not freedom. Don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk on Twinkies. Be filled with the Spirit. Amen? If you need freedom, a new level of freedom, would you just stand up today? We're going to pray together. Are you all free, totally free, or could you need some more freedom? You got some family stuff that's messing with you. You got some old things, decades old. You got something that happened this week. God, you see us standing here today. And we're standing acknowledging we need freedom. And we're acknowledging that you are offering it to us. And we're taking you up on the offer. God, I pray that you would help us abide in your word. I pray you would help us be filled with your spirit. I pray you would help us know what you say to do, how you say to act, how you say to think about things, that we should worship you, focus our heart and mind on you, receive strength from you in our weakest moments, in our ugliest moments. God, forgive us for going to coping mechanisms that have no potential to help us. And help us be a group of people that run to you for the freedom that we need. The Son, Jesus Christ, will make us free indeed. And now, God, I pray you would make us a church that helps people get free. That we go out from here and we testify about our freedom and we invite people to know Jesus and he can give them freedom like they've never known before. Help us to experience this and help us to share it with our world and our generation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll give it to Wayne. Thanks, everyone. God bless you.
Thank you, Kelly. I'd like to call Pat Hunter up for an announcement she needs to make, and then also to call the ushers forward for the offering, and I'll pray for that.